This is a segment from The Annex, an academic sociology-themed podcast. For more, visit us on the web at theannexpodcast.com. In the news today, but a couple days ago, there was news that Ontario Premier Doug Ford met with University of Toronto Professor Jordan Peterson. First, Nana, while I have you here, you ever see that guy around campus?
Oh, my dear colleague. Yes, we grab lunch together all the time. He sits in on our colloquium at sociology. Friend cool of the dude. Department. Yeah, real friend.
Do you live your life according to the 12 rules for life by Jordan Peterson?
Yeah, I mean, look, the thing is we make a lot of jokes about good old JP over here, but he is truly like Canada's number one cultural export currently. Like, he is bigger than Drake. He is bigger than Justin Bieber. I walk through an American airport and I see 12 rules in those airport bookstores and people are reading it on airplanes. And so, this is our reality, is that he's actually right now the most successful cultural export coming out of Canada.
Yes. But this is why popular appeal is no substitute for like acceptance by the peerage, like, because there's a lot of stupidity that gets a lot of popular appeal. But in any case, so news came out that Ontario Premier Doug Ford was going to sit down and meet with them, and there was questions about what did they discuss. And Jordan Peterson quickly tweeted after about his opposition to the Ontario Human Rights Commission, which is something that both that he's against, and I presume, well, why wouldn't Doug Ford be against the Human Rights Commission? Because, of course, what a noble cause. Why not fight human rights? But my honest interpretation of this was, wow, this is like a show-off academic meeting with a show-off politician to discuss like an issue that will inflame white's sense of being encircled by a minority and, mobilize that idea that this is like, that politics is like a race conflict between the whites and the others. And That's what I'm imputing on this. Am I off? What's your take?
Yeah, I mean, from where I sit, which is like I'm interfacing with undergrads who are watching the YouTube videos produced by Peterson and others sort of in his fold, and they want to talk about this in our classrooms. And, I see that this totally is having some resonance with like certain groups here. And it's not even just sort of like white voters, the way that you brought it up, Joe. It's sort of like any number of undergrads. They're women, they're men, they're students of color. They are interested in this sort of contrarian take that Peterson and others like him are putting forward. And so I think that at the time that the appointment between these two had been scheduled, because it was just released in the past week, right, that they had this meeting, but it took place sometime in like October or November, and this was around the same time that there was tons of talk from both of these people about not just doing away with the Ontario Human Rights Code, but also creating a new set of free speech codes of conduct for Ontario universities as well. And so this has now been collapsed as also like a free speech issue too. Mm-hmm. And so it creates more about sort of the erosion of public confidence, right, in universities or in science. These are all of a piece.
What do people get? Like when you have students who are big Jordan Peterson fans, we've treated this in the show, and my take has basically been like it's a style over substance thing. Like they like his style and they like to see what looks like a respectable delivery of like anti-PC, anti-progressive culture. But what's your sense? What are people pulling from it?
Yeah, I think that there's this sense where he's appealing to some of our students because it seems like he's speaking truth to power, or he's, allowing them to sort of like take the red pill and see the world, in a way that none of us have allowed or encouraged them to see it. And so there's, I think, like, to some extent, a Pied Piper thing that's happening. But I do see that our students, like, they haven't totally quote unquote, like fallen for it. They're very critical consumers, but nonetheless, they are consumers of the videos, which I find really, really fascinating. And it's something that I think myself and my colleagues, like we've had to really build into part of our teaching repertoire, right? Is like, how do we talk about this in class discussion?
Bart, is Jordan Peterson hot at Harvard right now too?
I must say I haven't, aside from Twitter, I haven't thought about him much nor heard about him much at Harvard, but that could be partly because I'm on sabbatical. Maybe in my absence, he has become the hottest topic on campus. I would say that, you know, what's interesting about the meeting, and who knows what they talked about, but I think Netta is absolutely right that this meeting took place at the same time as there was a discussion of forcing Canadian universities to sign on to this free speech commitment. And the fact that Jordan Peterson is a free speech warrior is not coincidental here, right? That both Ford and Peterson seem to be kind of, their appeal seems to be coming from a similar place. There is a sense among white Americans, white Canadians, that there is a crisis coming, or that perhaps they're already in the midst of crisis. And that has to do with in the US, with becoming a majority minority nation, with the fact that there's a perception of collective status loss among white Americans. And one dimension of that is this notion that coastal multiculturalism and cosmopolitanism is imposing certain rules of certain cultural norms and rules of speech on those white Americans. That's sort of one dimension of the sense of rapid change and cultural threat, or sort of collective status threat. And so I think, you know, in Canada, it's a slightly different environment because multiculturalism has long been an established government policy and a dominant way through which Canadians understand themselves collectively. But nonetheless, there seems to be a backlash brewing, and Ford's election is one sign of that. Mm-hmm. And I think, you know, basically that meeting kind of captures the fact that this is what Peterson and Ford have in common, this notion that they are pretending to be, or maybe sincerely believing that they are the defenders of you know, dominant majority culture against the incursions of multiculturalism, liberal campus deplatforming, and all of the other things that Peterson talks about. So, you know, I'm not surprised that they met. I'm not sure what comes out of it, but in some ways it's a sign of where we are politically, both in Canada and the United States. And in some ways it showcases one source of support for populist politics these days, particularly radical right populist politics, which has to do with racial threat and with collective status loss.
Well, I think you have a very charitable interpretation of the two. I more saw them as two people who hit the same target audience. And so it's like, this is a co-branded event. It's kind of like how peanut butter cups and cereal are for kids. So they make a peanut butter cup cereal. It's like a super band.
Okay, yeah, that's right. Yeah. Next Halloween's group costume can be the Jordan Peterson and Doug Ford meeting.
Oh, good Lord. I'll stay in America for that one.
For more, visit us on the web, theannexpodcast.com.